Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening.
This worship team is amazing, aren't they? Yeah. Thank you so much for leading us, young men and young women. God bless you. I've enjoyed my stay in this beautiful, cold city. Yes, and I've had, I'm already making a number of friends. It's such a beautiful part of the world. So thank you so much for welcoming me to your beautiful part of Canada. And I promise I'll come again, but I'll not come in winter. So today is, it's been winter since I came, so I don't know when you say winter, because to me this is winter. I thank God so much for the opportunity to speak to you and to encourage you. This morning I was talking about that amazing man, Jabez. And this evening I would like to talk about being desperate for God. And I'm excited that I see many young people, young men and women, boys and girls. So that's exciting, because I think you probably need these messages more than the older people. So I want to talk about being desperate for God. And this message touches me a lot, because I've been in many situations in my life where I really felt I needed God. And I want to say that God has really come through for me, and I will always live to thank him for who he is. And today I'm going to really talk a little bit about the life of a man called Jacob. And I know many of you know him. He's found in very many chapters in the Bible. For those who do not know, especially those who are young and new in the faith, Jacob is one of those young men and women who have a lot of great stories. And one of them is that he was a twin. And actually, Pastor Abe has got twins. By the way, in Uganda, if you have twins, you are very, very special. The mother and the father are very special. They're respected all over the clan because you have them. So you're special. Yes, you are. So Jacob was born with his brother Esau, and Esau was the first one, and Jacob came later. And the Bible tells us that when he came out of the mother's womb, he was actually holding on to the leg or the foot of his brother. And his life was a very interesting life, because it was a life of great experiences. He was a son to Isaac, as we all know, and Isaac was a son to Abraham. So he comes from a very good family. But he was a man who had lots and lots of issues. So let's pray before I start to share. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share again. I pray that you open our hearts, that we will be able to hear and understand more and more about Jacob and also being desperate for God. So I pray the Lord you open our hearts, that we hear what you have for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever looked for a job and tried applying in all places, field applications, and after some good time, you don't get the job? Have you ever had that kind of experience? Have you ever been in a financial situation where things are not going the way you would like to go? In Uganda, most people rent. And I've realized that when you're renting a house, the month doesn't take long to end. So you always have to pay. And sometimes life can become very difficult if you don't have a job and yet you have to pay rent. Or have you ever faced a doctor, and the doctor delivers news to you that you have this disease, this sickness, and it is terrible, and the chances of your survival are very slim? Have you ever been in those kinds of situations? Or have you ever had a friend, a brother, a family member in that kind of situation? I always tell my young men and women, especially young ladies, have you ever looked yourself in the mirror and realized that the years have gone and there's no brother who has come and say, I want to take you? Have you ever been in that kind of situation and you say, I am getting older, but there's no one coming to take me? So have you ever been in that kind of a situation? Have you ever done a business or some kind of work and things seem to be breaking or coming apart and things are not, they don't seem to be improving. Things are going down instead of going up. Have you ever been in those kinds of situations? Have you ever been in a situation where it's as though something evil has entered your spouse? He's changed or she's changed. And you say, what happened? It's like the devil has just visited your home. Have you ever been in those kinds of situations? There are so many situations we go through in life. And those situations always call for us to respond to God in a special way. So the life of Jacob is that kind of a life. So my question is, when you reach those kinds of situations, what do you do? Or if you're in that kind of a state, what did you do? Or what did you do about it? How did you respond? How did that affect your relationship with God? Those are questions we always need to ask ourselves. But the real thing is that usually you are in a desperate situation. Now, the life of Jacob is that kind of a life. So I've talked about the fact that he's born as a twin brother. But also we know that as they were growing up, Jacob was a darling to the mother, while Esau was a darling to the father. And as they were growing up, Jacob had a certain kind of habit. He was a trickster, or he was cunning. I think that's the best word to use. He was very cunning. So you all know the story that one time his brother needed some food, and he said, okay, I can give you some food if you can promise that I will take your inheritance. And poor Esau didn't know that he's dealing with a very sharp, cunning brother. And for sure that's what happened. He really tricked him. And then time comes when the father is very old and the father wants to actually declare a blessing upon his first boy, Esau. Say, Esau, it's time to bless you. Can you give me some food and then I will bless you? Now every one of us knows that. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Every one of us knows that Esau goes to look for food because he was a hunter, and Jacob works with the mom to trick the father. You know that. And it didn't go very well because, yes, the father prayed over him, blessed him, and Esau returns and the blessing has already gone to his young brother, and definitely, Jacob had to run away. He goes to the relatives, and the story is very long, as every one of us knows. And he ends up working to get a wife, as you know. And he works for 7 years to get a beautiful girl called Rachel. Is it Rachel? Yes. But what happens? After 7 years, the father-in-law tricks him like he tricked his own brother. So what you sow, many times you reap, not so? That's what happened to him. And that starts a system of problems and problems and problems and problems. He ended up working 14 years to really get Rachel. He also got, of course, the sister, and then he ended up having a very big family, as we all know. That's the life of Jacob. It was a life of struggle. It was a life of hard work, but it was a life where he did not get what he wanted, But part of it was he was a trickster and he had issues. Time comes when he decides that I need to go home. I need to go back to home. He had been working very hard, and the father-in-law also tricks him about his payment. You know that story. But finally, he again succeeds in convincing the father-in-law that I'm leaving. I'm leaving with my wives, I'm leaving with my kids. But then he realizes that where he's going, he had messed up. He had actually not done well with his brother. So he didn't know whether his brother is going to kill him, he's going to arrest him, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. He knew that it's not going to be very, very easy. So on their way, he decides to separate himself from the family and he decides to be alone with God. So when you go to the book of Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 and 25 and 26, you get these words from the scriptures. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." He's going back home. He has a situation ahead of him, and he doesn't know what the situation is all about. But he knows it's not going to be very easy. In this desperate situation, Jacob decides to separate himself and be with his God. Jacob was a desperate man. And I know that many of us come to situations in life when we become desperate. But the question is, when you're desperate, what do you do about your life? Or how do you respond to your desperate situation? Let me describe for us what I understand by being desperate. Desperation is a tension between what is and what can be. You're in a tough situation. It's not easy for you. There are difficult situations where you are, but there is a desirable situation that you want. There is a place where you want to go. There is a place where you want to be. So it's a tension between what is and what can be. You see that there is a future that can be better than what you have now, but you are not there. But you desire that God will help you to get there. So it's a tension between what is and what could be. And many times you realize that you cannot take you there. You cannot make yourself there. You need the help of God. And I believe that the Jacob that we're talking about, he was in that situation where he really needed God to help him. Desperation is getting tired of one's current situation. So when I look at this man, I feel that he reached a time in his life, he had lived for some time. He was already married, he had very many children, but I believe he started looking back and realized, you know what, I have lived a life that has not been the best. My life has not been what it should have been. I believe that he started asking himself those questions. And said, I think I deserve better than what I have today. So he started looking at the life that he lived. Actually, I believe that you know that the name Jacob means a person who usurps, a person who takes that which doesn't belong to him. So he realized that his past life was not the best. But he also realized that he had been working hard, but even in his work, he was not actually getting what he deserved because he was cheated again by his father-in-law. So it's getting tired of your situation and say, God, I want a change in my life. And I believe that as Christians, we also come to those kinds of situations. You feel that your prayer life is not where it should be. Or you look at your family and you say, this is not the kind of family that I should have as a Christian. My family, there must be some kind of difference in the way my family is. There's something I need. It's being tired of your situation. Also being desperate is sensing trouble. For this case of Jacob, he was sensing trouble ahead. He says, if God cannot help me this time, I know I am in trouble. When I meet Esau, I don't know what he will do to us and what he will do to me. So it's being helpless and finding that you cannot change your situation. And usually when you reach that kind of a state in your life, the best place to go is to go to God and say, God, I need your help. Unfortunately, not many of us do that. Many of us act differently. Some people become actually very mad at everyone. They blame the situation. They blame other people. Other people actually become addicted to some stuff, to alcohol, to drugs. Other people, they withdraw and they try to run away when they reach those kinds of situations. But the best place to go is to go to God. And this is what this man Jacob did. What are the characteristics of desperate people? Desperate people are emotional. They are emotional. When you read those verses of scripture that I've read, you really feel it. The man was desperate, and desperate people can be emotional. I'm reminded of a lady called Hannah. You know Hannah in the Bible, who desired a child. And she was so emotional. Whenever she went to prayer, she actually prayed emotionally that actually the priest thought she was coming to the Lord's house drunk. Have you ever been in those situations when you're so emotional, you're so desiring that God is involved in your situation that actually your emotions can be seen by someone? So Hannah was emotional, and I believe that this man Jacob was emotional. Desperate people are very aggressive. They are aggressive. You are desperate for God. You are aggressive. You want a change, and you want it so desperate that you are willing to fall in the presence of God. So now in this situation, Jacob separates himself and is alone in the night, and the angel of God comes. And he realizes that this is not a common man. It must be a messenger from God. And when he sees that this person from God, this angel from God has come, he decides that I will do whatever it takes to get an answer from God. Brothers and sisters, I believe that the church today needs to have some desperate people. We need to have people who are so tired of their situation that they're willing to do whatever it takes to see God involved in their situation. But also to us as a congregation, as a church, we need to reach a situation in our community where we say, God, you need to get involved in the situation of our community. But not only our community, even the country where we come from. I come from a country where the president has been a president for 31 years. Can you imagine that? And he wants to continue ruling for another so many years. And what I've found in the last few weeks in our country, they want to change the constitution. People are mad. People are angry. People are saying, no, we don't want this. Now, people are going political and some are going violent. But what we are calling our people to, we are saying to them, we need to go to God. We don't need to be violent. And I'm reminded of that verse of scripture which says, if my people are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and repent of their sins, I will hear from heaven and actually heal their land. So have you ever been desperate for the situation in your community? And if you are, you'll be aggressive and you'll go after God. What are the characteristics of desperate people? They are serious with God. They are serious with God. They are serious with God. And this is my prayer, that God will raise more serious people in our churches, because when we find them and when God finds them, God is going to use them. They are serious in prayer. I pray that God will raise up more serious people. So that's the characteristic. Those are the characteristics of desperate people. But what are the spiritual qualities of desperate people? Who are people who are desperate for God? People who are desperate for God, they are broken before God. They are broken before God. And I believe that Jacob, the story that I'm just talking about today, Jacob had reached a situation in his life where he realized he can no longer run without God. You know, to get the inheritance from his father, he actually tricked the father. He tricked his brother. You also remember that when his father-in-law was cheating on the payment, because he was being paid in animals, he actually had to do some kind of cheating to make sure that these animals are producing spotted lambs. He was a man who used his brain a lot. Do you know that we use our brain a lot instead of using our heart and our prayer a lot? Especially with men. Men love to use our brain. We want to reason everything out. We want to rationalize. I believe that Jacob reached a time when he realized in his power, he can't change his situation. And friends, many of us reach those kinds of situations in our lives when we, in our own power, we can't change our situation. God has to come in and help us through our situation. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, Psalms chapter 34 and verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Desperate people are broken before God. They realize they need God. An open, sincere declaration that without you, God, I can do nothing. Those kinds of people will find God. They have a total dependence on their God. Jacob realized that the future that he was going to have, only God could take him there. He had done everything he can. Now he needed God to get involved in his situation. There is something else that I know about, or that I see in this situation about desperate people. One of their other spiritual qualities is that they are persistent in faith. They are persistent in faith. Now, friends, when you read the Bible here, the Bible says that when he saw Okay, Jacob left, and the man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. When he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hip of his socket, and his hip was dislocated. And then the man said, "Let me go." And he said, "I will not let you go." They are persistent in faith. Do we have Christians who are persistent in faith these days? There are not as many, by the way. There are not as many. The Bible talks about this woman. She was a Canaanite woman. She was not actually a Jew. She comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus wanted to help, but he wanted to test, to find how desperate this woman is. She wants God to heal her little daughter. And Jesus said, "You know what? I didn't come for people who are not Jews." And the lady says, "No, I know I don't deserve, because I'm not a Jew, but I have a need." And Jesus persisted, and she persisted, and Jesus persisted. And at the end, Jesus says, that's Matthew chapter 15 and verse 28, and Jesus says, "O woman, great is your faith. Let your prayer be answered. Let it be done to you as you desire." And her child was healed. People who are desperate, they don't give up easily. They don't. They persist in faith. They persist trusting God. They believe God can get involved. In this situation, the Bible says Jacob meets this angel and gets hold of him. And the angel said, "Leave me alone." And Jacob said, "No, I am not leaving you alone. I need you to bless me. I need the hand of God on my future. I want God in my future. I want God to get involved." This is the kind of people that God is looking for today. And my prayer is that God will raise people in this congregation who are like that. People who are ready to set their life and seek after God until they find God. What is the other spiritual quality we find? Is prayer. People who are desperate for God are serious in prayer. Now, friends, I know many of us, we came to faith because we grew up in Christian families. I see many young people here. Your parents were believers, so you became a believer. So you found yourself in church. Do you know that God does not have grandkids? Did you know that? There are no grandkids. You have to come to God alone and direct as yourself. But also you find yourself that sometimes you reach a time when your father or your mother is nowhere to help you. God alone can help. So friends, people were desperate. They're desperate in prayer. So Jacob struggles with God and says, "God, if only you can bless me, then my future will be better." So it's time for us to begin wrestling in God and wrestling in prayer. Now, I've come to your country a few times, and I've been to North America, to America, and to many places. And I found that prayer is good here, but prayer in the Western world is not as much as we have in Africa. So I always want to talk about prayer, because prayer works. What I found is that the devil here works a lot, but somehow the devil in America and Canada is a little bit subtle. You don't usually get to confront the devil directly. So somehow the aggressiveness in prayer is not as much as we find back home. In Africa, the witches are very, very active. I know there are witches here, but there They're very aggressive. So somehow God has taught us to be very, very aggressive when it comes to prayer. And I really feel that your country has come to a time when the church must rise up and pray more than it has ever prayed, because the enemy is rising up and the enemy wants to destroy the good things that your forefathers planned for your nation. So prayer is very important, and I pray that God will raise up an army of intercessors in the churches in America. Jacob wrestled with the angel of God in prayer. The lady that I talked about, Hannah, she separated herself and went in the temple alone in prayer. When is the last time that you spent time alone in prayer? When is the last time that you woke up and said, I'm going to spend an hour alone in prayer? That's the question I want to ask. When is the last time that you set up 3 days and said, in these 3 days, I will be alone with God in prayer? Friends, this is the time for the church to rise up and pray like we've never, ever prayed before. I just want to share a little bit about my life. I was born not in the city. I was born in the countryside. I always tell people I came from the bush. My wife came from the city. I came from the bush. And I come from a family of 13, so I understand that the Mennonites have very many big families. So I think I'm a Mennonite. 13 children. Out of the 13 children that I'm talking about, it wasn't one mother. 6 mothers. My mother had 6 children, but the rest of my siblings were from different mothers. My father was very alcoholic. He was a teacher, school teacher. My mother was a school teacher, but my father was alcoholic. He would drink and drink and drink. It was so hard that he would go and get his salary and he would not come back home, and he would come back after a week. He had drunk everything. So we grew up, as many as we were, and dependent on my mother's salary because my father was not available. So it was a very tough situation. So I remember my mother always saying, my children, never ever go near alcohol because it's going to mess you up. But as I was growing up, I started developing these habits, and I realized that I'm sliding to be like my dad. And then I remember one day I went to visit a friend at school, and he had just accepted Jesus. And when he shared the faith with me, I realized that I needed the Jesus that this young man was talking about, because I realized that I had come to a situation where I was slowly sliding away and I was going to be just like my father. And Jesus grabbed me and saved my life. So I get saved at a time when there was a civil war in my country. It was a civil war. It was a tough, tough civil war. So for a season of 3 years, my parents were cut off because it was a war zone where they were, and me and a few of my brothers and sisters were cut off in the city. So my mother actually got relatives for each of my siblings to stay, because for them they were cut off and the kids needed to go to school. So it was a very tough situation. And in that season, after a few months of my accepting Jesus, I get this call, a call to serve Jesus. My original desire as a young man was to become a medical doctor. I wanted to be a doctor. But then, into the journey of salvation, I feel this calling, a very, very strong calling, that God is calling me to become a pastor. a preacher. And I started seeking after God. And I joined this church. And that church, it was a prayerful church. Of course, we needed prayer because the country was in a civil war. It was so poor and things were very difficult. And I remember staying with my sister. My sister had gotten married and had gotten married to a man who was a Catholic. And this Catholic realized that I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian and on fire for God. That man didn't like me. So I remember one day, I had already finished high school and I have this burden and this calling to serve God. I remember one day rising up and say, I have to go find a place to stay. This is not a comfortable place. So I remember picking my few small belongings and I said, God, you will take care of me. So I got myself a tiny little room to stay. And I started seeking after God. And God is amazing. Because as I started seeking after him, God introduced me to, my pastor actually introduced me to a man of God who taught me what it means to pray. So this man taught me how to pray and seek after the face of God. And in that season of prayer, I started praying. I said, God, I want to go to school, but I don't have any money, and my parents are closed off. I can't reach them. I don't even know whether they are alive. And I said, God, I want you to open my doors. God, I want to see you at work in my life. It taught me how to seek and pray. And friends, when you start seeking after God, you will find God. I remember one day, we had been on a mission trip up in the countryside, preaching and teaching. I came back and it was Sunday evening like this. And my pastor calls me, said, Peter, come. And he asked me, Peter, do you have a passport? I said, no, I don't have a passport. But I've applied for one. He says, I have got you a place in school in Kenya. It's a Bible school. Run, work hard, go get yourself a passport, get on a bus, go to this school. I already knew about this school. I had written to them, but I didn't know how to get there. It so happens that my pastor had a visit from a missionary who was in Kenya across the border, who had come to visit Uganda to just find out what is going on. So when he came to the office of the pastor said, I have some young men who want to go to school, but I don't know how to get them there. And I happened to be one of those two young men. So I ended up going to school. This missionary paid for me through school for the 4 years that I was in college. So friends, when we seek after God, we will find God. When we find God, God will change our situation. So friends, I'm saying this to say this. When you're in a desperate situation, God will come through for you if you're ready to go after God. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12, in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me in earnest, I love the word earnest, you will find me when you seek me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I'll bring you home again. Friends, when we seek after God, we will find God. So now, friends, there is something very interesting. When this man sought after God, something happened. The first thing is that God got hold of him, the angel of God, and what did he do? He messed up the thing. What I always say is that when we seek after God, God changes the way we walk. Do you know that sometimes we walk too fast? And I believe that Jacob was always walking fast ahead of God, doing things in his own way. But when he faced God and wrestled with God, God changed his hip and actually he slowed him down. Friend, sometimes God needs to slow us down because we are too fast. He changed his walk. But the other thing we understand about that is that the way we walk changes. We start walking well and we start walking slow and we start depending more on God. But something else happened when he was in that place with God. The Bible says God blessed him. Friends, many times we look as though we are blessed, but we are not really blessed of God. But this time he got the blessing of God, the blessing which only God can give. Now there is a man called Leonard Ravenhill. Some of you have ever read about him. He says that no man is greater than his prayer life. The person who is not praying, he's playing. The people who are not praying, they are straying. We have many organizers, but we have few agonizers. We have many players, but we have few prayers. We have many singers, but we have few clingers. We have many fears, but we have few tears. We have much fashion, but we have little passion. We have many interferers, but we have few intercessors. We have many people who are writers, but we have few fighters. And Leonard says this, failing here, we fail everywhere. So the challenge I give this church today is that you will be a church which prays and seeks after God. God wants to do and bring revivals back to North America. And I believe that he wants to start with you. He wants to create a hunger for God and a hunger for prayer in your heart, which will change your life, but also will change your church, change your city, and change your country. So when this man sought after God, he found God. So God changed the way he walked, but there is something else that changed. God changed his name. Can you say amen to that? He was Jacob, but God changed his name, and his name became Israel. From a name which connected to him being a person who cheats, who takes things that don't belong him to him, God gives him a name called Israel, a prince with God, a man who actually ends up becoming a father of a nation. So friends, when we start seeking after God, God will change our situation, but also God will change the things around us. But then also something else. His knowledge of God became deeper. He became a man of God. He became a prophet of God. Through him, a nation was born. Why? Because he found God. Brethren, we need to find God. And we find God on our knees. We find God in that secret place of prayer. We find God when we seek after God. But there's something that happened when he sought after God. When God changed him, he also changed his situation. Because the Bible says when he wakes up and goes, he actually finds that Esau, whom he thought was going to kill him, arrest him, kidnap his kids, he was very, very happy to welcome him. So friends, we go through a lot, but I found that many times we forget that there is an answer, and that answer is in prayer. So friends, I just want to encourage you as a church that you will be a church of prayer. I told you a bit in the morning about our church. When I went to that church, that community was a community full of witchcraft, full of pressures and a lot of problems. But we started a prayer meeting. Every Friday would come and pray every Friday through the night, from 10 through the morning. We've been doing that for the last 25 years, every Friday. These days we have two kinds of prayer times every Friday. We have 6 to 9, and then we have 10 to 5. And it has changed our lives, but it has also changed our community. It has changed our people. And friends, that's the encouragement I want to give you today, that God can change your situation, but he can also change your name. He can change your future, but also he can give you a bigger future if you be a man and a woman of prayer. I want to end by asking us to pray. And I know every one of us who is seated here has got some issues. Maybe it's a family issue. Maybe it's a personal issue. Maybe it's a sickness in the family. Maybe it's your sickness yourself. Maybe it's trouble with your kids. Maybe your marriage is having issues. But also, even as a church, we have issues. We have issues in the community. There are things we want to change, but humanly, we cannot change them. So what I would like us to do as we finish today is for us to be in groups of 4 or 5. Do you think we can do that? And we're going to take some time and share with each other what are the areas where we want to pray. And I would like us to spend some time praying for each other. I would like us to pray for each other. I would like us to spend time seeking after God. But the first prayer I would like us to start with is that God will make us men and women of prayer. Amen? That God will stir us up. That God will put a desire and a desperation to be different and to make a difference. And I want to challenge especially you who are young, who are here. The future of this country is in your hands. If only God can help you to start that habit of prayer, you'll be amazed at the great things that God can do.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope it will encourage you and also inspire you to continue living the life God has called you to. God bless you and have a great and wonderful day.